I apologize for doing such a morbid 10-minute halacha, but yesterday was a big levaya day for me, so I'm sort of holding in that. So I want to talk today about the inyan, the mitzvah, the requirement of tearing kriya when someone dies. There is a halacha that in order to highlight the feelings of grief and loss that's experienced by an avel, that they do a mitzvah of kriya. This is Paskim Shulchan Aruch, Yerdeus and Hashem Shin Mem. Misha Meis L'Meis, Vumeya Meisim Shroi L'Sabel L'Leim, Chayiv L'Kroi L'Lev. One tears Kriya for any Meis that's Roi L'Sabel. Now there is what to talk about in terms of tearing Kriya for Rebbe Mufak. I do not want to get into that right now. I believe that that was the, or is the common practice. Did we talk about this once? That it was a common practice in certain yeshivas when the Rosh Yeshiva would die, that they would tear kriya. I think when Rav Henoch passed away in all the Chavetz Chaim yeshivas, they were told to tear kriya. So there is such an inyan. I remember when the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir was nifter, Rabbi Aryeh Cohn in DRS, who was a close Talmud of his, walked around with a beged karua the entire day because of he felt that that halacha applied. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is the following. A lot of times you go be Menachem Avel, and you look at the begadim that the Avelim are wearing, and they're begadim keruim, they tear their beged, but it seems to me that a lot of times it's done halachically improperly, that the kriya is not done properly. So it's important to just know, A, when to tear kriya, and B, how to tear kriya, not because chas v'shalom we ever hope that this happens, but the reality is that sometimes there are funerals and people just don't know how to tear kriya. They don't know what to do. So the proper time for kriya, the Gemara says, "Masachs ma'ikat and daf chavdal and ralef kol kera she'eno b'shas chimum eno kera." Any tearing that's not done at the shas chimum, which for I guess the best translation is the time of the greatest sense of grief, is the time for kriya. That's when it's supposed to be done. So when is that exactly? So certainly the Shas Misa, the Shas Yitzias Neshama, Rashi says, is the time of greatest grief, and that really should be the time of the kriya. However, there are Rishonim that say that it extends, not only at the exact time of death, which really, as soon as Shama Shmua, as soon as the relative hears that his relative died, it should be right away kriya. No one does that. Nowadays, no one does that for some reason, and we'll explain what that reason is. And many Rishonim say that the Tosfos Moed Katan Daf Chavdal says that the time of Kriya could extend, not just at the time you hear about the death, but until the time of burial. So the minhag seems to be that we tear Kriya at the Levaya, right before the Espedim. That's the most common minhag. I've seen those who tear Kriya at the cemetery. I've seen those who tear Kriya after the Espedim, as they're being motzi the mace. And you get the sense what they're trying to accomplish is trying to figure out when is the greatest sense of grief, meaning when are you going to find the Avelim in their deepest emotional state. And at that moment, that's when you want to do the Kriya. So the common minhag of doing it right before the Espedim, the Gesher HaChayim, which is the classic Sefer on Hilchos Avelus, suggests is based on three things. First of all, a lot of people don't know how to tear Kriya, so you wait till you're in the company of people who serve on the Chevra Kadisha, or a rabbi, or something like that, who has experience with this, that could tell a person, show a person how to tear Kriya. Second of all, a lot of people at the time that they hear about Yitzias and Shama do not have access to a blade, which our custom is that we tear Kriya using, or at least we start it, using a blade. So a lot of people do not have that. So at the time that the Chevra Kadisha is around, they'll have the equipment that's necessary. And the third reason is that we want to tear Kriya when everybody is together, when all of the Avelim are together. There's a certain sense of loss and a certain sense of grief that is stronger because of the company of all of the Avelim together, as opposed to just one person on his own. Those are the three reasons highlighted by the Gesher HaChayim. The halach in Shulchan Aruch is that a person has to be standing at the time of Kriya. If they sat while they tore Kriya, they have to stand up and do it again. Obviously, this will not apply to a person who's in a wheelchair or something like that, who's unable to stand, an elderly person who's unable to stand. There are several differences between tearing Kriya for a parent versus another relative. When tearing Kriya for a parent, the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Shin Mem Sif Yud Gimel, that one should be Korea mi bachutz, whereas by other relatives mi bifnim. This means two things. First of all, it means that the kriya for another relative does not have to be so obvious and exposed that everyone is going to see it. Meaning, let's say a person is wearing a jacket, the kriya for the other relative could be on a part of the shirt that's even covered by a jacket or a sweater that he puts on afterwards or that he has on from before. A kriya for other v'imo has to be exposed where anyone who looks at the person immediately sees that they have a torn beged. But it also means that a kriya for other relatives does not have to be done publicly. Kriya for Avi V'Imo should be done publicly. So that's why typically the minhag is that we bring the Avelim in. Everyone is already in the room at the Levaya. The Avelim come in and we tear Kriya in front of the room and everyone sees them say the bracha of Dayan Emes. Because Shulchan Aruch says they should say the bracha B'Shem HaMalchus of Dayan HaEmes, each Avel individually, and as they finish that bracha of Dayan HaEmes, they then tear Kriya. Which beged does one tear? So when it's you're tearing for other relatives, you only tear the outermost garment, what's called by Chazal the beged elyon. Whereas aviv imo, it's kol begadim shalav. It's all layers of begadim. Now all layers means all layers that are actually considered a beged. But if a layer that you're wearing is not considered a real beged, then you would not tear kriya. For example, an undershirt is generally not considered a real beged because it's just there for zeya. It's just there to catch the sweat so you don't sweat through your shirt. So no one tears kriya on an undershirt. Very similar to the whole discussion that poskim have whether undershirt tzitzis are actually chayiv and tzitzis. Is it really a beged? Because if it's only an undershirt, it's just there for sweat, would it be, I think there's a temen alach shir in that. But whether if it's not a beged, we don't tear kriya on an undershirt. Or for example, a winter coat. But Avil's wearing several layers, it's cold outside. I've been to many cemeteries for many different levayas. It's always either way too cold or way too hot. It's never the right temperature at a cemetery. But if a Avil's wearing a winter coat, that is not a regular beged that would require kriya. That's not worn for kavod. It's not worn for style. It's worn because the person would otherwise be freezing cold. So the real nafkamina would be whether you tear the jacket and the shirt or just one. If it's aviv imo, you tear the jacket and the shirt. If it's a the suit jacket and the shirt. If it's for shar krovim, so Maisha holds, you definitely only tear one. The question is which one? What's called the beged elyon? So one might say, well, obviously the jacket is the beged elyon. Elyon means the one that's on top. But Maisha holds not that way. Maisha holds that if it's a person who doesn't wear his jacket all the time, but it's always wearing a shirt, so the beged that you're wearing all the time should be the one that you tear kriya on, and therefore it would be on the shirt. I never ask Rav Shaftel what to do, so I just do like Rav Moshe. When I do a levaya, I'll often have the other krovim just tear the shirt. Now, how to tear kriya is important. This is the part that I wanted to get into a little bit. For relatives other than a parent, the halacha is tear a tefach. A tefach, Rav Moshe defines, is about 3 and 3.5 inches. For parents, it's ad sheyegala es libo, until one reveals the heart. So it has to be at least a tefach, but in a way that the kriya extends to the area of across from the left bicep, meaning the makom tefillin. So the kriya should extend right into the pocket, so to speak, on most shirts. So the way we typically do it, and also the kriya on other relatives could be done with a kli. The kriya on aviv imo have to be done biyad. The kriya on other relatives is done typically on the right side. Kriya on aviv imo is done on the left side. So the way we would typically do it is when it comes to tearing kriya for a parent, someone will take a blade, and usually we have someone else do this part for the avel because that only adds to the agmas nefesh, that they need someone helping them in order to do this kriya, and we try to promote that sense of agmas nefesh because that's part of the kiyum of tearing kriya. Someone takes a blade and they'll cut from here, they'll cut from the edge of the shirt across with the blade, and then the avel should tear one tefach down ad sheigales libo until he exposes his heart. Whereas by shar krovim, you could do the whole thing with a blade, and you just tear a tefach in whatever direction. There's no heart issue. It should be down, but it doesn't have to be, you know, across and down. It could just be a kriya that's down. A lot of times you'll see that people tear kriya and it's like, you know, an inch or something, and it's not in the right spot. It's not on the right side. It's not on the correct side. It doesn't expose the heart. So to be melamed zchus on why it is that that people do that, I would suggest that in my experience, clothing is made too well these days. So when you cut some of the blade so you can direct the blade, then people start pulling at the baguette. It's very hard. These begadim are made very, very well, and sometimes they just can't direct where the tear is happening. So that might be part of the issue as to why it is that sometimes we find that it doesn't work out exactly the way that it's supposed to be. Okay.